tonight, wanting to introduce you to a number of other people related to Reformation in general, but who we may not know as much about. Johannes Gutenberg, who lived from the year 1400 to 1468, was an essential pre-reformer who provided the weaponry, the equipment needed for the Reformation. The invention of the printing press was the special achievement of Johannes Gutenberg. At the end of the 20th century, numerous publications discussed who they believed were the most important people of the millennium of the previous 1,000 years. And Johannes Gutenberg, the inventor of the printing press, was in everyone's top 10, and many voted him as the most important man of the millennium. I think Time magazine, Newsweek, and a whole lot of others had Gutenberg on the top of their list. It's understandable, because without the printing press, you wouldn't have had, well, the news media, you wouldn't have had anything from the scientific and technological revolutions. It would have been impossible to have anything from jet aeroplanes through to many of the other things we take for granted, let alone video projectors and laptops. So quite possibly the most important man in the millennium, and certainly that was a pretty general vote at the turn of 1999 into 2000. Johannes Gutenberg then, who was he? He was born in the city of Mainz, near the shores of the Rhine River. His father, Friel Ginschflesch, married Else von Gutenberg, who gave her name to her second son, Johannes. Otherwise, we'd have the Genschfleisch Press and the Genschfleisch Bible. He chose his mother's name, which we're very grateful for. It's certainly a whole lot easier on the tongue, Gutenberg. Johannes developed an insatiable appetite for knowledge, and he read every book he came across. And during his teen years, Johannes and his family were forced into exile twice due to political infighting and conflicts. Johannes traveled from town to town, studying monuments, visiting men who were renowned for their knowledge in science, art, or trades. He traveled alone, he traveled on foot, he carried a knapsack with his precious books and clothes, and as an itinerant student, he traveled throughout Italy, Switzerland, Germany, and Holland. Here you can see a map of Europe at about that time, and you can see how small Austria was, for example, how big Hungary was, how the Ottomans were moving up into Europe at that stage. You can see the Kingdom of the Franks and where the Danes at that stage controlled Norway and Sweden as well. England was separate from Scotland, of course, and even right here, Spain was separated into Castile and Aragon, but the Muslims still held a toehold in the Kingdom of Granada. So you get a bit of a feel for how it was. Also notice how huge Poland was at that stage, in allegiance with Lithuania, and how very small Russia was at that stage. But in fact, how the Golden Horde was in fact taking much of what today we'd call Russia. So things were very different in Europe at that stage. You can see how the map keeps changing. But as an itinerant student, he traveled through much of Europe at that time, and his love for God grew and deepened the more he read, the more he studied. And the further he traveled, the greater his vision developed of spreading the word of God to all people. One day in Haarlem, Holland, his friend Lawrence Koster handed him a piece of wood that had letters carved into it, but was wrapped in a piece of parchment. And some of the sap from this green wood, it must have been very fresh wood, had hardened into the relief shape of the letters on the parchment. And as Johannes saw the simple plank of wood, an inspiration flashed into his heart and mind with a force of lightning, he said. The possibility of producing a machine that could print the word of God welled up within him. And Gutenberg traveled up the Rhine to Strasbourg, closeted himself in his workroom, and he fashioned his own tools, he developed plans, he tested, he tried, he reorganized, he attempted again and again to produce an effective printing machine. He started with movable wooden types. He bored through the side of each with a small hole to string together the letters of the alphabet cut in relief on one side. But wooden type was not good enough for this. It didn't last. He seemed to understand something of the immense importance of this invention upon industry, upon society, upon civilization itself. And when he contracted a skillful craftsman, Conrad Sasbeck, to create a full-size version of a scale model, the craftsman responded, "But it's just a simple press you're asking from me, Master Hans." A press, of course, for a vine press. "Yes," Gutenberg said, "it is a press, certainly, but a press from which will flow soon, inexhaustible streams, the most abundant and most marvelous liquor that has ever flowed to relieve the thirst of man. Through it, God will spread his word." And a spring of pure truth shall spring from it, like a new star shall scatter the darkness of ignorance and cause a light heretofore unknown to shine amongst men. That's just incredible. They haven't printed a single page yet, and he's got this vision of what it's going to achieve, and he's actually on target. This is not an exaggeration. This man was far-sighted. He had a vision. He could see something resulting from something that hadn't even happened yet. And God must have given this to him. And to this is a fact of history. The printing press grew out of the Christian faith. And of course, when Gutenberg was voted man of the millennium and the printing press and so on, there were those pagans who came out with, no, that's not true. The Chinese actually invented the printing press first. Absolute rot. The Chinese had 26,000 characters, 26,000 effective letters. You can't have a printing press with that, and they didn't. They had people who sat there with a knife on a wooden flat board, and they carved etchings that you could use as a stamp pad and ink, and that is not a printing press. That's like woodcuts, which Europe had too. I mean, woodcuts were known long before Gutenberg. We're talking about a movable type is only possible with intelligent alphabet. Like 26 letters. 26,000 letters of the Chinese alphabet obviously was not workable. They didn't have an alphabet. They just had lots of little picture drawings. So the entire Chinese could not have produced the printing press logically, and historically they didn't. They just had stamp pads, which, you know, most preschools have got too. That's not a printing press. But it just shows how most were happy to grab anything that they could use to attack a Christian heritage. Just like people don't like admitting how Christianity started hospitals or the medical profession, and you ask many people, well, what's the sign that you see on the side of the ambulance? It's a stake with a serpent around it. Well, where do you think that came from? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, and he'll draw men unto him. And it's the Lord who gave this this antidote to the snake bite poison that God had sent upon them as a punishment for their grumbling. And so the medical profession took as their symbol Moses, serpent, on a stake, which symbolized sin, which symbolized Christ becoming sin for us as a solution to our sins, that he took our sins upon himself on the cross, and by his stripes we are healed. So all of this wraps up is the sign of the medical professions, ambulances, even the veterinary surgeries. Have got a V over a serpent on a stake. Ask the average vet or doctor to explain this, and they probably couldn't explain a symbolism because they've either forgotten or their instructors just wanted to keep that Christian heritage in the past. Similarly with the printing press. Despite his great vision, Johannes was acutely aware of his limitations. He was just one man, and he had very limited resources. He was concerned about his work being discovered and possibly pirated for lesser goals than producing the Word of God. So he worked on the mechanics of printing secretly, moving his workshop into the ruins of an old deserted monastery. And he spent sleepless nights wearing himself out in the pursuit of his invention. He engraved his movable types in wood, and then he projected casting them into metal, because he knew the wood wouldn't last. The wood was just there to get the casting right, and then the metal ones were the typecast that would last. He studied hard to find the means of enclosing them in forms, whether of wood or iron, to make the types into words, phrases, lines, to leave spaces on the paper. He invented colored mediums, oily, yet able to dry. Important, they had to dry. To reproduce the characters, the brushes, and the dabbers to spread the ink on the letters, and the boards to hold them, and the screws and the weights to compress them. All of this had to be involved. This is way beyond the Chinese ink pad stamps of woodcuts. He invested months and years and his entire fortune in these experiments. There were many disappointments. There were many failures. There's a lot of frustrations before he developed a model press which combined all elements for an efficient printing press. The first book to be printed had to be the Holy Bible. The second was the Psalter. And the Psalter was the first book to ever bear a date, 1457. Now, the Gutenberg Bible was magnificently inscribed, beautifully, I mean, it was with different colors and different colored ink, and it was produced over a three-year period. It was in two volumes, believe it or not. Completed in 1455 in two volumes, in Latin, of course. They didn't have the Bible yet in German or English. It was printed in Latin in two volumes because it just took too much space. And the printing press working all day, sometimes all night. It took 3 years of constant printing to produce 200 copies. And these were originally printed, and only 50 are known to survive to this day. Today, an original Gutenberg Bible is considered one of the finest works of art. In 1978, a two-volume edition of the Gutenberg Bible was sold for over $2 million, the highest price ever paid for a book. Now, I would like Voltaire or Karl Marx or someone else to show a similar piece of work that they've produced, and how much could that fetch at the best auction? The fact is, the Bible is not only the most precious, it is recognized as the greatest work of art, the greatest literature, the highest achievements. And these are some irritating facts that have got to frustrate our pagan friends. At first, the Roman Catholic Church opposed the printing press. For political reasons and for the survival of his invention, Gutenberg wrote a dedication to Pope Paul II on behalf of the printing press. Makes sense. They were banning it. How do you get the Pope to overturn this ban of the local Catholic Church? Well, dedicate to Pope Paul II. And in the dedication, we had these words put in. Among the number of blessings which we ought to praise God is this invention, which enables the poorest to procure libraries at a low price. Is it not a great glory that volumes that used to cost 100 pieces of gold are now to be bought for 4 or even less, and that the fruits of genius multiply over all the earth? And that is a good description of the printing press. But if you think just how quickly we risograph off things, and we print off things here on a risograph in the mission house and put together, Gutenberg would be astounded at what we can do now with risographs and lithoplates and desktop publishing and digital and emailing it through to the print shop to print for us. Incredible. What they had then was one page at a time, the letters laid out, compressed, screwed in to make sure they didn't all fall out when they turned it upside down. Printing, getting the press down, releasing it up again, taking up that one page, hanging it up on a line to dry, because the quick drying ink was not that quick. You couldn't have this page after another, thousands of pages an hour, which we do, unheard of. So 3 years to print 200 copies of the Bible, and this was revolutionary. Everyone was just astounded at the speed, because it would have taken a monk about 2 years to have handwritten one copy before. And here they've got 200 copies in 3 years. Wow. Soon, Gutenberg couldn't sustain the demand for printing in a small workshop. He was forced to develop partnerships with successful businessmen Johann Frist and Peter Schoffer, who unfortunately didn't have the integrity of this inventor. They had the money. And these businessmen hijacked his invention, stole everything, including his type and press, from Gutenberg, and they claimed the credit, and he went into poverty. And for many years, Gutenberg suffered, and it was thought that Fust and Schoffer were the inventors of the printing press, and for a long time they actually hijacked the entire thing. But despite these trials and betrayals, Gutenberg maintained his integrity, his honor. He maintained a faithful Christian witness to the very end. Gutenberg's invention of the printing press is rightly classified as one of the greatest events in the history of the world. The printing press prepared the way for the Reformation and the progress of modern science and the progress of modern literature. The printing press became an indispensable tool in the fulfillment of the Great Commission and the development of universal education, which would have been unthinkable if everything had to be handwritten. Gutenberg's invention enabled multiplied millions to discover for themselves great literature and, more importantly, the Word of God. This one invention made possible the greatest revival of faith and freedom ever experienced. The invention of the printing press played a key role in mobilizing the Reformation. Without printing, it's questionable whether there would have even been a Reformation, because a century before, Martin Luther, Ulrich Zwingli, William Tyndale, Huss, they'd all inspired dedicated movements for Bible study and for reform, but the absence of adequate printing technology severely limited the distribution of their writings. And as a result, the ideas didn't spread as rapidly or as far as they could have done. And by God's grace, the printing press provided the reformers, Martin Luther, Ulrich Zwingli, Tyndale, Calvin, and others, with the spiritual weapons they needed to make the Reformation succeed. So while Gutenberg's not normally thought of as a reformer, he's an important pre-reformer who helped provide the spiritual ammunition. and he enabled us to make disciples of all the nations, teaching obedience to all things, because without the printing press, well, just about everything around us, the walls here, would not be possible, and certainly laptop computers certainly couldn't have been considered. The printing press really was probably the greatest invention of the millennium, and possibly of the age. Now, by God's grace, we've got quite a lot of new of these CDs available, including sermons. And you'll notice at the bottom here, we've got a whole lot of the audio documentaries. Bill Bathman used his studio in Phoenix in order to produce audio documentaries, which are not just a lecture or message. It's lots of interviews, music, the sights, the sounds of, for example, the Romanian Miracle Revolution. These are Sudan ones. Here we've got the Christians Under Fire in South Africa and the St. James Massacre, Dungeons and Dragons, Backward Masting, and there's a whole host of others that have come out recently. Communism. This documentary came out, I think, in 1989, when, and a real classic on understanding communism, in response to a supporting church of Bill Bathman cutting support, saying you're too anti-communist. And so with that went into, well, too anti-communist, how can you be too anti-communist? Let's look at what communism is, what they believe, what they do, what the fruit is. And so there's a lot of good material that you can get from these different audio documentaries. Notice now there are MP3s on quite a few of the CD ministries as well. And audio CDs aside, there's the data CDs, which have got all the lectures and PowerPoints on, for example, the Reformation, the PowerPoints on the work of the Biblical Worldview Summits and so on. Those are also available. Now, before we go on to the second man that I want to look at tonight, are there any questions about Gutenberg?